This is episode 78 of the Need to Know podcast from CIA Ops with Boone T from PowerBiz Solutions. In this episode, we talk about the benefits and opportunities of hybrid cloud solutions. You can support this podcast by purchasing guides from www.ciaops.com/publications. There you will find a range of information on using technologies like SharePoint and Office 365. You'll also find templates to use with your own SharePoint site to help your business get up to speed quickly. Resell options are also available. All of this can be downloaded immediately at www.ciaops.com/publications. Okay, so before we dive into this episode, I thought I'd give you a couple of bit of an update, some editorials, some thoughts. So firstly, thank you to everybody who has given me feedback about the podcast. It's great to hear from you. Looking forward to getting more feedback as it comes in. Now, one of the things that Microsoft has announced recently is that it has released the ability to do user self-service password resets in Office 365. So every Office 365 tenant comes with an Azure AD tenant. These feature to do the user self-service password resets was a premium feature, and now it has been made free. So you can basically get the user to set up a number of challenges so that if they can't remember their password, they can basically request a new password without having to have an administrator come in and do that. I'll put the link to this and also the blog post I have showing you how to set that up in the resources on this podcast. Also, they've included the ability to customize, to brand the Office 365 portal. Again, I've got a blog post on that, and I'll put that in the resources. Another big plus is that Microsoft have extended the email retention period on deleted items to be unlimited. Previously, it was 30 days, so generally, if users left items in their deleted items after 30 days, it would be purged from the system. So Microsoft is currently rolling out unlimited retention period, so just beware that it may not happen immediately, but eventually all users will be able to leave email in deleted items and it won't be automatically deleted. You can obviously go in and change the retention policy to adjust this if you need, but again, never a good idea to leave things in deleted items as a filing system or archiving. Best idea is to create a separate folder and do that, but obviously a major pain point that Microsoft has now addressed with this change in retention of deleted items by default. Another thing that Microsoft has done has released a preview of its Office 2016 for Mac, so you can go and download that. Again, I'll put the resources in the notes here so that you can go and get that. Remember, this is in preview. Microsoft has scheduled this to become available around the June timeframe. But if you are a Mac person or you know Mac users who are willing to give it a go, put it on your system. It comes with a new version of Outlook, Office, Excel. I've put it on a lot of my Mac here. Using it seems to work really well, brings the look and the feel up to the equivalent with the Windows version. So a great preview. Get in there if you're a Mac or you have users who use Mac, but remember it still is a preview. Now, again, there's also been a partner app released for Android. So again, look out for that. Put that in the course notes. So again, a lot of things happening in the Office 365 space that you should need to be aware of. So again, check the resources. Follow my blog at blog.ciaops.com for information around that. The other thing that I will plug before we get into the podcast with Boone is that my free SharePoint email course you can now get to via bit.ly, so bit.ly/gs-spo, so bit.ly/gs-spo. Again, put that link in the resources. And again, what I've also done is released an Azure course, an introduction getting started with Azure for people who want to learn more about Azure. This includes documentation, videos, links to external sources. You'll find that at ciops.com/publications. And as always, if you want to connect with me, you can do so via link. My link address is admin@ciaops365.com. Don't forget to please rate this on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you see it. The reviews help it to be seen by more people, and also give me some feedback to let me know what you think of the podcast, if I'm doing the right thing or the wrong thing, so please let me know. I'm always looking for feedback. As I mentioned, you can send me information about what topics you'd like, what guests you'd like. If you'd like to come on the show and speak about something, certainly open to that. So you can make those comments and send information via www.ciaops.com/contact. And now, without further ado, let's get into our podcast. Welcome along to another Need to Know podcast from the CIOps. My name is Robert Crane, and in this episode, I'm joined by Boone T. Welcome along, Boone.
Hi, thanks, Robert.
Excellent. All right, as we always do here, Boone, we'll get you to introduce yourself and let the listeners know who you are and what your business does. So if you could do that, it'd be great.
Yeah, well, my name is Boone. I am the director for PowerBiz Solutions. We are a small business in Adelaide, and we look after generally small clients. I run a MSP type of business where we provide IT services to small to medium businesses ranging from one user all the way up to about 30 or 40 users. We do have a couple of larger clients, but generally our sweet spot is around about 15 to 20 users. I've been a Microsoft MVP in the small and medium business for 5 years, and am passionate about the needs of small business and IT and how we can make the most of our technology in this changing environment.
Well, speaking of changing environment, I suppose you're a little bit unique in this world in the fact that you tend to fit in the middle of what seems to be the polar extremes of this discussion. So you've got fanatics like me totally in the cloud on one side, and other equally fanatical people are saying stay on-prem, the cloud is evil. I think you seem to have taken a stance that you can get the best from both sides, and that's probably the best solution for many clients who already have technology. I mean, is that a fair summary?
Yes, I believe so. I think in today's world, the writing is on the wall. Certainly, everything is moving towards cloud-based computing, and businesses that don't take advantage of cloud-based computing are going to find themselves behind the eight ball, and perhaps even those who hang on to their old technologies will find themselves left behind and perhaps even miss the boat and might have to shut down.
Okay, so what many people may not realize is that the integration between, for example, the Microsoft server, especially for a small, focused on small business versions, and their Office 365 productivity suite is quite good and can be made to give people the best of both worlds. I mean, is that what you're seeing, and is that sort of the what clients are sort of asking for?
Yes, in fact, on Friday last week, I gave a presentation entitled The Best of Both Worlds at the MVP ComCamp here in Adelaide. And in that presentation, we talked about how we can maximize Microsoft technologies in a hybrid deployment for a small business and a medium business as well, and how we could leverage the use of the small business server, or what is now called the Windows Server Essentials, and how we can use that to maximize cloud technologies like Office 365 and Microsoft Azure.
Okay, so do you want to give us maybe a bit of a quick run through about how this is configured? Because obviously we can do the Office 365 totally in the cloud, but when we want to integrate something like Server Essentials, I mean, what changes there? What needs to be done differently? What other things do we need to think about? And basically, how do we go about deploying it? Do we do Office 365 first, or we do run up the server? What's a general guideline as the best practices how that should happen?
A little bit of background before that. I think in Australia, we're in that unique situation where there will be people who complain about slow internet speeds. And I believe that is true anywhere in the world as well, unless you're in Korea. For the uptake of cloud-based businesses to succeed, I believe we do need high-speed broadband at an affordable type of cost. And also we need the other third-party line of business vendors to come on board and be able to write applications that suit the small businesses and how they work. But until that point in time, small businesses are going to be relying on a server to do their work. So we've got the Windows Server Essentials, which is basically either a separate SKU for small business, or you can purchase a Windows Server license and be able to deploy the Essentials experience, which is the same thing as running a Windows Server Essentials. This gives you the ability to run a dashboard on your server, which makes it easy for the business owner to have an at-a-glance look at what they're running on their servers. Now, this by no means makes IT providers redundant, as I believe that small business owners need to work with a good trusted IT partner to be able to deploy this technology in a way that will work well. But it gives the small business owner some ability to manage and also look at what they have and make the most out of it to suit their needs.
Okay, so the Windows Essential role or whatever you add in, are there any limitations and user amounts? Are there anything that we need to know to keep in mind?
If you buy a Windows Server, a full license of Windows Server, there essentially are no limitations. You get the same experience and the same limits as Windows Server. You need to purchase client access licenses. There is a caveat that you cannot put, there is a maximum number of supported clients and devices, mainly for hardware limitations, not so much software. It's a practical boundary, as you say, where if you're going to put in a really cheap and small server, I wouldn't be using that to run something that would host 100 users. You really need to get the hardware to suit. And apart from that, there are no major limitations. A lot of that can be found on the Microsoft websites in terms of what it actually supports.
Okay, so on the Office 365 side, is that the Essential server will integrate with every SKU of Office 365?
It will basically work with the business SKUs, not the home SKUs. So in the Windows Server Essentials dashboard, you have the ability to connect to your Office 365 tenant. Literally, by running a wizard, it would ask you to log in and sign into Office 365, and you do that with your administrative account. And it then presents you with a number of licenses which you can use, and you can then run wizards to assign your users or create new Office 365 accounts using the licenses that you have and associate them with users on your server.
Cool. Okay, so I suppose it makes that whole process of setting it up and you know, getting it all working. Now, in your experience as an IT provider, do you do that via the Essentials console, or do you still do it in the GUI in the Office 365?
I do this on the Essentials console. I find it a lot easier than navigating through to the Office 365 portal. There are a few things that you would go to the portal to work with, but in my experience and in the past few months, as I've noticed, I've logged into that portal several times, and I've seen every time I log in, it seems to be different. There's a lot of development work that's going on, and things are not always where they are. You can always use PowerShell to manage it, which is a really powerful tool, but I find it much easier just to go to the Essentials console and do most of the basic management there.
Okay, so we've obviously got now, you know, an on-premise server. We've got it connected to Office 365. We've got it, you know, syncing up and doing all that sort of stuff. Are there any sort of, you know, limitations or things that we need to be aware of as an end user that may be a bit different from our, you know, traditional on-premise setup that, you know, that may trip us up?
There's not a whole lot. There are some areas that you need to watch out for. Obviously, setting up the first Office 365 tenant requires logging into the Office 365 portal to do this, where you would associate your domains and perhaps even create the first user if you want to. You don't have to. Once you get into the Essentials part, all you would do is just start creating users, and the users will appear in the Office 365 console, and their passwords and everything will be synchronized as well.
Is that a two-way synchronization, or is it just one way from Essentials Up?
I believe it's a one-way sync from Essentials Up. If you actually do change your password in the portal, I haven't actually tried this, but if you do change it there, I believe it will not sync backwards to Windows Essential.
But the advantage here is we don't need additional program like DirSync to run or that sort of thing.
No, DirSync is no longer needed to do that.
Cool, excellent. All right, well, that's a big plus. Anything else?
The good thing is, right now, with the new version of Windows Server Essentials in 2012 R2, you can also create distribution groups and security groups as well through the wizard.
Okay. Now, can you you can do the Office 365 admin. Can you admin any of the software services like Exchange, like SharePoint, like Link at all?
No, that would require logging directly into the portal to manage. If you want full access and full administration to the Exchange or SharePoint areas, you would need to log into the portal to create or set things up properly. For example, things like I believe shared mailboxes and stuff, you would not be able to create in the Windows Server Essentials area.
So I think part of it is that, as you mentioned, is this is not something that a consumer can generally buy, run, and configure everything they want, because most users need some sort of more complex setup, being shared mailboxes or maybe SharePoint or Link or that sort of stuff. So they're typically still going to need their IT provider to do that, aren't they, really?
Yes, they are. Yeah, so it's not a matter of Microsoft coming in and saying, hey, we've made this really easy, and now business owners can do all this stuff, and we don't need IT providers anymore. It's more the case where IT providers need to be heavily involved to help business owners make the most out of their setup. You can do your own accounts in the end with tax, but if you get an accountant to do it, you'll probably save more money and get better results in the end. It's a similar type situation.
Okay, so obviously they we're not taking away from doing that. The IT reseller needs to be probably just as involved, if not more, and provide better advice, because obviously now you've got a hybrid situation with some services in the cloud, some services on-premise, and a broadband connection between them, which all need management, which all need configuration. I mean, you know, that's why you need that overall perspective. Again, is that, a fair statement?
Yes, that is. In fact, if anything, there's more work to be done nowadays than there used to be with just managing a server on-premises.
Okay, now part of it also now is that in your experience, what are clients, you know, they're obviously choosing to leave their files typically on-premise and use the server as for file shares, but are they moving some of the stuff to SharePoint, or are they just using Office 365 for the Exchange component? I mean, what do they actually use the server for? Does it allow connection to a remote desktop server, to a member server to run maybe SQL? I mean, were the clients typically leaving on-premise?
I think for most small businesses, the general idea is they will have an on-premises server. That server will be hosting a lot of their files. It will also be hosting a line of business app or a terminal server of some sort. Generally, with Windows Server 2012 standard, you have the ability to virtualize this and run two virtual servers with the single license. And that makes great sense to make one a file server that runs Essentials, and the second server you could use for line of business app or a terminal server or something along those lines. And it makes great sense to do that on premises. With SharePoint, I find a lot of small businesses, especially really small businesses, have not really got their head around how to use that properly, mainly because I think it's a bit tricky running with OneDrive and the areas of keeping different versions of their documents and how you manage these documents online. A lot of people tend to be more familiar with the idea of directories and folders and have all that on their on-premises server. However, using the Office 365 portal, there are great opportunities to be able to do backups and also present a lot of this information online using OneDrive. And I found that to be quite helpful in implementing small business servers or essential servers.
Okay, so we've obviously got, the OneDrive, which, like you said, can be a little bit cumbersome, I suppose, for some businesses if they haven't invested the time to understand it. But what about services also from Microsoft, like something like the Azure Backup? I mean, that's obviously something Microsoft's pushing very hard, pushing to the SMB space. I mean, does that integrate with Essentials? How can we get like a, basic Azure Backup of our server or part of our files integrated with the solutions you're talking about here?
Those are some really new technologies that have come out that are really exciting in the small business area. Azure Backup is one of those things that has been around for enterprise for a long time and is now very easy to work within the small business space and also very cost effective. For literally a few cents a day, you could back up your servers to Azure, back up your data to Azure. Windows Server Essentials provides that integration, so you no longer have to log into your Azure tenant and then go through the steps of installing an agent on each server and setting up the storage vaults and stuff like that. In Windows Server Essentials, all you need to do is run the wizard. It will ask you a few questions, log into Windows Azure, and with a few clicks, you will have backup automatically set up and backing up all the data on the server.
Now, is that backing up the whole drive? And obviously, that's a lot to back up initially, you would think. I mean, how does Essentials handle that? Is there any intelligence there in the way that it does that?
Well, the initial backup will be longer. It will back up all your files that are in the company share and any other shares that are selected. So if you do have a lot of data, there will be a lot to back up, and that depends on the speed of the internet. However, once that's been done, each backup is literally an incremental backup, looking at the changes in the files to see which files have changed, and it only uploads those files to the Azure servers. So at any moment in time, you can look back to history. You can decide how long you want to retain your backups, and it will just go back and you can recover from any point in time.
And I'll also point out that Azure supports the ability to seed the backups initially. Typically, that's available overseas at this point in time, not in Australia, but that service will eventually be available in Australia. We'll be able to send a USB disk with the data, and that will then get around the need for that huge initial backup. But again, that's something to be aware of when you're doing that. So when you set that up, I mean, that's another reason that an IT person needs to be involved to understand that that first backup's going to run rather large. I mean, do you just let it run the wizard and do the backup, or do you, for example, maybe do, a couple of folders first and let those sync, then expand the backup so it doesn't consume the user's total bandwidth? I mean, how do you sort of handle that? You just click a button and let it do its whole thing, or are you doing it in stages?
Generally, I would do it. It depends on how much data there is, but if you've got a lot of data, it would make sense certainly to do it in stages. Generally, if you're putting in a new server with a lot of data, I would do this probably on a Friday evening and let that sync over the weekend. Once again, it does depend on the size of the data and the speed of the internet. If at all possible, I would even take that data, bring it to your own office, provided you have faster internet, and do the initial backup there, and then bring the server back to the client's place. Let's say, for example, if they have a ADSL connection instead of a higher speed connection. So
Okay.
there are various ways to do that.
So obviously we're backing up the data, but what strategy you've got in place obviously is to back up the server, the AD, the Windows, critical files, this operating system. Do you do run that as a separate backup? I mean, how do you handle that?
Yet again, Microsoft Azure have now got an incredible SKU that now allows people to back up to Azure the entire virtual server. as your site recovery has been around for a number of years now, but mainly into enterprise space. Previously, you could back up all your virtual servers using Azure Site Recovery, but you needed to have a component called the System Center Virtual Machine Manager. And this was a rather expensive piece of software, which a lot of SMBs could not afford. But recently, I believe it was last year, Microsoft acquired a company that allowed them now to provide backups, or in a sense, replicas of your virtual servers directly to Azure as a virtual machine, using Hyper-V Replica directly, or in the cases of VMware servers, to use an agent to do the replication there.
Yes.
So in this sense, yeah, Azure Site Recovery will work exactly how Hyper-V Replica works.
Yeah, and I wrote a blog post recently that again highlighted the fact that that's now available directly from the portal. So one of the options when you do create a site recovery is the option to use it without using System Center. So I'll put that in the show
yes.
notes so that people can refer to that. But it's a good indication, I think, that you know Microsoft, although Azure has come from an enterprise background and typically developers, it's again you know improving very quickly, and they're looking to broaden their appeal. And a lot of these services we're talking about in Azure, I think, will appeal to the SMBs and do provide great. And backup is obviously one of those first ones, and the matter of how cheap it is really fantastic. The other thing they've just added recently is the ability to not only backup servers but also backup workstations. So again, is that something that you're thinking of doing or integrating, or are you just going to stay with the server?
At this stage, it's only servers. With the workstation backup, it pretty much works a similar way. Windows Server Essentials already provides an excellent backup for workstations. And you can back up your entire workstation to the server and use Azure Backup or something to back up the data from the workstations that are being backed up to Windows Azure Backup. So there are several ways of doing this. We can also back up the virtual machines directly to Azure Site Recovery. But in the end, I think in Australia, we're not 100% there yet, mainly because of the speed of the internet. The test that I did recently, it did take quite a long time to send up the initial replica for a bare bones essential server that I created. So while it's a great technology, it's not 100% there because of the speed of our broadband.
Well, I think part of that too is that we're going to see, the Office 365 stuff come back into Australia from March. We've already got Azure data centers now here in Australia, but you're right. I think the limiting factor, unfortunately, is our broadband connectivity.
Yeah.
And I think, again, I would point once again to the importance of having a reseller involved, and the reseller having the right sequence or the right checklist to make sure that one of the first things they do is go in and check the broadband connection and make customers aware of that the A and ADSL actually mean something, that
yes.
their up speeds are very different from their down speeds. And I think, you know, again, that's an opportunity to have conversations with the customer. And there'll be some cases where you obviously can't get that connection, but that's where they're going to rely on your technical knowledge to say, okay, what's the option? Now, the other thing too, when it comes to broadband, is what about things like failover? Are you doing things like 3G, 4G, cellular failover as well, or are we just living on one broadband connection? I mean, what's your feeling and is happening with customers out there?
Yeah, a lot of the failovers and stuff are more in the disaster recovery plans. What happens when that on-premises server goes down or your internet link goes down, as can happen many times? And we're finding a lot of third-party firewall devices, and I would always recommend nowadays putting in a firewall UTM-type device rather than just a basic business ADSL router or something. So you put something like that in the office. And most of these now support a dual WAN situation, where if your primary link goes down, you can easily plug in a 4G card or a 4G USB dongle or something and have that connectivity for your site to the internet. One of the great things is that you no longer really need to have a fixed or static IP address if you're running with Windows Server Essentials, because your emails are in the cloud with Office 365, and that doesn't go down very often. So the only reason why you would have a static IP perhaps might be for terminal services or something similar like that, for which you could use a dynamic DNS type solution to publish.
So you're finding customers are, you know, they're aware of the failover of the dependency on the internet, and they're looking to do backups. I mean, what, you know, how do you handle that disaster recovery plan in some ways? Because you would think that would be the first question they would ask, you would think, but maybe it's not. I mean, is that a conversation the customers coming to you with, or are you having to initiate it with your customers generally?
I think a lot of customers at this stage are not really fully aware of it. And many of them, I normally bring up this question to the clients to say, how long can you be down without emails or without your server? And I'll usually gauge a response from there. And the tendency is that they'll usually be a bit softer than what actually is the case. So you need to be prepared for anything of a higher or more urgent worst case scenario. But a lot of clients, I think, can go without internet for a little while you bring something out. And at the extreme case, because you've got a lot of things in the cloud, oftentimes it's just as easy to continue running your email services off, say, even a McDonald's free Wi-Fi or something, so that the staff can still work with emails, even though some other parts of their business may not be fully operational. And it depends really on how critical their systems are. For the more critical servers, more critical systems, you might need to have perhaps a second server running a Hyper-V replication on premises first before replicating to Azure Site Recovery. And in a perfect world, if Azure Site Recovery works quickly across the internet with good broadband speeds, we can easily fail over the entire Server Essentials plus the line of business application, if necessary, across to Azure and have it running in the cloud.
Okay, so what about this scenario? I mean, I'm beginning to see this more and more, and a part of it is customers come to you and they say, I don't want anything on-premise, I want everything in the cloud, but we're going to have these dependencies for third-party apps and some of the things that we've mentioned. Now, what's your sort of feeling on the concept of moving maybe an Essentials server and maybe the other member server totally into Azure using the virtual machines, and then setting up just a site-to-site VPN and using that, so that on the client side, they've actually got no server, they've actually got their server and whatever other equipment they need hosted in the cloud, still connected to Office 365 as a solution. I mean, are clients open to that, or is it, you know, do you think they will be? I mean, are you finding a lot of people that come to you and say, look, I want everything in the cloud, I don't care what it takes, I just want everything in the cloud?
I've had a few customers actually ask me that question. And my first question to them is, what kind of internet speed do you have? How many users are going to be accessing this scenario? And what is your budget? Running a server in Azure is great. It's not the cheapest, but it is quite affordable now. But it must be stressed that it is not the cheapest, and it is certainly not cheaper than running an on-premises solution. The next question is, can they survive running a remote desktop connection to a server in Azure? Because if you were to open up documents directly off Azure server from an office connected via a site-to-site VPN, it's still going to be slow. We had a situation where a client had a 20 megabit connection, and even then they felt that opening up documents were slow, especially with large documents. And nowadays you can get Excel spreadsheets that could be as much as 10 or 20 or 30 megabytes, and that can take about 8 to 10 seconds, or even in some cases 60 seconds to open. we're finding that users are more demanding nowadays. And if something doesn't open within 2 or 3 seconds, they tend to start thinking something's not working right or something's slow. And so the expectation is quite important when having that initial conversation with the business owner.
And again, I mean, the reality is typically in the office, they've got a 1 gigabit or at least 100 megabit connection, and all of a sudden they're going back to, you know,
yes,
20, which is a very good connection, but it's still a fifth slower, and you've got everybody sharing that. So there are some realities, obviously, that need to be instilled in customers, but the trend obviously is hopefully that eventually we will end up to be as lucky as places like Japan, South Korea and the US where they have proper broadband. But again, there are some caveats, and as we've tried to stress through this discussion, is it's still about a reseller providing that value, providing that knowledge, providing that guidance to the customer to help them make the most of it. And again, the typical thing is that one solution doesn't suit all customers, because you've got variables like broadband and third-party apps and whatever. So smaller organizations that may not need a server, yeah, they could live all in the cloud, but maybe the larger organizations that still have an SQL-based app would still need to run a member server. So it's part of important is to have all of these solutions at your disposal and be able to provide them. And I think it gives you more opportunity, doesn't it, really? When you come as a reseller, like you've been saying, there's much more work that needs to be done or potentially that you can offer.
Yes, certainly. Realistically, if I had a client that did not require any legacy third-party line of business app, and all they did was, let's say, office-type documents, and they did emails, and really didn't need any accounting system because they've got zero accounting in the cloud and all that, and all they wanted was just some way of sharing files and things like that, I would seriously be moving them to a non-server-based solution, and everything would be in the cloud. And perhaps they would be using things like OneDrive to synchronize to provide them some sort of backup in their office.
Well, I think the other thing too in all of this, there are third-party providers that are cloud-based backups that you can do. You can still do off-premise. There are backups if you want. You can do something to Azure. So again, there's so many different options here that, again, it points back to the IT reseller being across all of this sort of information. So in your experience working with peers and that, are the majority of resellers across these sort of solutions, are they, you know, offering these, or are they, you know, struggling to understand how all of it still fits into what they can offer to customers?
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, it is a little bit disappointing to see that there are many resellers that still have not embraced cloud technologies and will continue to hold on to a strong on-premises solution because they're comfortable with it. Whereas a lot of business owners are saying, well, let's make use of the cloud and how can we do this? So I think resellers need to really open up and be more aware of what is out there and actually use it themselves.
And I think that's the solution. I think that, so in your experience, what's the, obviously, hopefully they're doing Office 365, but on the Azure side, I see that at the moment is a lot of people a lot of resellers aren't moving that direction, aren't playing with it, configuring it. I mean, you know, what's your recommendation or what's your suggestion, or how would a reseller who's maybe not worked with it, how would they start getting into Azure? What's their best way to dip their toe in the water?
I would say start small. Windows Azure has, Microsoft Azure has got a free trial subscription for a month. You can sign up using your username and get a free month of credits. Use it, test it out, see how it works. And if it's great, start using it for your own in-house services as well.
So I was going to say also, yeah, don't forget that most Microsoft partners probably have access to a $100 worth of credit every month with Azure that they can take advantage of, apart from obviously signing up for the trial. My first step I think the easiest thing to get going with would be Azure Backup, wouldn't it?
Certainly. That is the first and foremost and easiest way to get involved in Azure, is to use Azure Backup.
And I think that once you've mastered Azure Backup, which is a couple of clicks, then you would move into maybe something like virtual machines where you can run up
Yep.
a virtual server or a virtual desktop, do some testing. I think they've got the Windows 10 server preview up there. I mean, again, it's a resource. You're getting typically $100 credit worth a month. That's a great environment to start testing software, to trying things, to getting speed. Now, the recommendation I give people is run up a virtual machine in Azure and use it for demos. So what I do is I have a couple of dedicated Office 365 configured workstation machines. That means I can go to any client and run any browser on any desktop that they've got, and then I can log into Azure, power up a virtual machine, and I can demonstrate Office 365 in a completely controlled environment with all the software installed and pre-configured. So at the very least, that's what I would be recommending. You do the Azure backup for some of your own internal stuff, or maybe your home stuff, or your kids' PCs or something, and then maybe look at a virtual machine as a demo environment. I mean, what's your sort of feeling on what we can sort of use as resellers for Azure?
I think that is exactly what I would be recommending to resellers as well. And I think further from that, and that's where you would draw value on reselling the business, is to be able to set up things like the site-to-site VPN that can tend to be rather tricky. And it takes a lot of trial and error to get it right, depending on what kind of equipment you have at your end as well.
And I think part of the recognition with Azure is that it's an enterprise solution like Office 365. It's generally not wizard, a lot of wizard base. You really still need to know your fundamentals. But if you do, then it's certainly going to be something that you can, going to give you the big advantage and allow you to use your skills. So again, part of it is for resellers, I believe, is not to be afraid of it, because you know what? You still need to know IP addressing, you still need to know mask, you still need to know how to connect site-to-site VPNs, run up virtual machines, operating systems, all that sort of stuff. It just alleviates the need for doing a lot of this hardware, which again can become quite cumbersome when you want to, for example, spin things up quickly or do demos or provide opportunities, I believe.
Yeah, I agree. It's a great resource. It's really huge, and there's a lot of things that are out there. Just recently, if you go, can't remember where it was, but there is a link to a free book on Windows Azure and just looking at the fundamentals and
Yep, I'll put that in the show notes so
basics
I
of
know where that
that.
is. Yep, that's a great book from Microsoft
I think it's a good starting point.
to get started. And I think there's plenty of stuff that where I'm doing around that as well to help resellers get up to speed. Because I think the other thing that people overlook, resellers overlook in both the Office 365 and the Azure space, is simply the speed at which it's changing, growing, improving, adding services. Now, if you're not on board already, and it's already an accelerating train, it's going to be very hard for you to catch up, get on board, and deal with all this. I mean, again, is that a fair comment?
Yes, certainly. I think resellers need to be aware of these things. More so, you need to be aware of what's coming up as well. We can't just sit back and respond. We need to be, if you want to be a trusted advisor to your clients, you need to know these things. Whether or not you actually recommend them, you still need to know them.
Yeah, and I think part of it, what we're going to see is that if you as a reseller are growing your business, you're probably going to be taking over or getting clients across. Typically, more and more, they're going to already have Office 365. They all might already have Azure, whether that's from another provider or they've signed up themselves. So firstly, that's the option. I think the next option is Microsoft has made it very easy for customers to sign up to Azure and Office 365 themselves, independent of their reseller. And we all know that the customer won't do it right. They'll make mistakes, they'll struggle, and all that. And that's, again, I think another opportunity rather than a threat for resellers to walk in and say, okay, let's have a look, let's get this sorted, this, again, work with it. But it's very difficult for a reseller to do that confidently if they haven't even started using the product and don't know their way around the console.
Yes, agreed.
So I think part of the takeaway, obviously, that we want to get across to people is that you can work with the cloud-based technologies, integrate them with the on-premise using Windows Essentials, and you can use site-to-site VPNs, and you can move them all. So there's a lot more options there that resellers can work with. It's a matter of, again, you've got to get in there and start using these products, because A, they're getting out there, but also because they're very much Microsoft's focus as well. That's where they're putting the resources, that's where they're putting the time, that's where they're putting the development. And if you're a Microsoft partner traditionally, then you want to be where Microsoft's going, and these are the products that Microsoft are working with and obviously keen for resellers to use as well. So I think the message from me, and I think Boone would probably agree, is you need to get on board at some, you know, at some stage and really start using this, or it's just going to get so difficult to catch up to anything that's respectable. I mean, again, fair comment?
Yes. Office 365 and Azure Backup, I think those are the two main things to take away and start using. You've got to be using them.
Okay. All right. So, again, we'll look at wrapping this up now. What I'll ask Boone to do is, again, give us a bit of a summary, you know, the essential stuff, how it all fits in, what a reseller should do, next actions, and then if you can let people know how to get in contact with you, what sort of stuff you're doing, and anything else you'd like people to know about your business.
Okay, I think for IT resellers, if you're listening to this podcast, really the key takeaways is if you're servicing the small business area where you've got clients 20 users or less, get them to use Essentials. It's a very easy tool to use, and it really helps in managing the server and getting things organized properly. Set aside one VM for your file services and for your DC to do this. Integrate it with Office 365, integrate it with Azure Backup so that you're protected properly and you've got your backups not just on premises but also in the cloud where they are secured and you can recover from anywhere. And finally, I think the last thing is, as much as people hate doing it, learn a few PowerShell commands so that you can work with the cloud technologies properly.
I totally agree there. PowerShell, PowerShell, PowerShell is what I keep telling people. And it won't bite you. It won't kill you. It's just like the old batch files. That's exactly what it is. And it make you look like a whiz, won't it?
Yes, it will.
Cool. All right. So how can people get in contact with you, Boone? What's the best way for them to follow what you're doing and what's happening in your world?
My blog is blog.powerbiz.net.au. blog.powerbiz.net.au, and that's the easiest way to follow what I'm doing and what I blog about, which is everything small business.
Cool. All right. Well, again, I'll take this opportunity to thank Boone for his time and his insight. I think there's been plenty of learnings there to take away how a hybrid solution can provide a great opportunity for resellers as well as a great solution for customers as well in a transition period and in issues where the cloud may not suit. So again, something not to be ruled out. So again, thank you, Boone, for his time and information. For any stuff about what I'm doing, again, best place is my website, ciaops.com. You can also find me on the Twitter at DirectorCIA. And with that, I bring to a close another episode of the Need to Know podcast. Thank you very much for listening. You've been listening to the Need to Know podcast from CIA Ops. For guides on using technologies like SharePoint Online and Office 365, visit www.ciaops.com/publications. By purchasing from the selection available, you'll be directly supporting this podcast. To provide feedback on this episode, visit www.ciaops.com/contact.